Happening today, the legislature will be holding a public hearing on a bill that would put a 2 cent per ounce tax on sugary drinks. We are talking about House Bill 5537, an act imposing a tax on certain sweetened beverages, syrups, and powders, and dedicating the revenue generated to a universal free school meals program. Joining us now to talk about this is Senate Minority Leader Steve Harding. Senator Harding, welcome. What are your initial thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, and Melissa, good morning. Thank you for having me, as always. I just think it's another tax, and we're the third highest tax state in the country by most metrics. Unaffordability continues to reign as the biggest issue that I see my voters face, including myself and my family and many of your listeners. And just yet another tax. And I get it. I guess there's a noble aspect to this in that we wanted to deter individuals from drinking more sugary drinks. Are unhealthy for you. They lead to obesity, diabetes, all those metrics. But I mean, I'll take it as a father to a 7 and 5 year old. You know, good luck telling my son he can't have some chocolate milk. I mean, as long as he's regularly exercising and eating healthy, otherwise, it's something that he likes to have and he enjoys it. And you know, that's many kids. And now you're telling me if I buy, let's say, a 12-pack of that for him throughout a course of a couple weeks for him to have once in a while, I'm going to have to pay an extra $3. And you know, you see gas prices, you see everything else, and this state is just so unaffordable to begin with. You know, it leaves a lot of people questioning, where is all my money going? And once again, you know, the majority party's answer to all the problems in the world is another tax.
So you want to know my biggest problem with this, Senator Harding? I, too, have a 7-year-old. And yeah, I got you. Good luck with the sugary drinks. I'm with you. You want to know my bigger problem is that I talked to Governor Lamont when he first pitched the idea of universal free school meals. And I never got a follow up, not only just from him, but really from anybody. My biggest concern is that this idea on paper sounds great, right? I mean, nobody should have to have their kids pay for meals at schools. I get it. We know that nutrition absolutely is linked to kids paying attention in school, being better students. Like, I get the need there, but it comes at a cost, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that you are consistently putting a program forward that, you know, maybe isn't just working during an election year, but is going to work every year, right? So I get it.
Right.
But the number one problem I have with this is what is the quality? And I find that very ironic, because if the quality is, yeah, we checked it, we're giving kids a free breakfast or a free meal during school, but that free breakfast is garbage, let me just put it bluntly, you know, whether it's full packed of sugar or it's, you know, processed, but whatever it may be, we don't even know what that looks like. So we're going to tax people on sugary drinks to fund a program that we don't actually know what that's going to look like. Like, I'm not convinced that it is the best thing to give a free meal. If you're telling me, okay, my husband doesn't have to make breakfast for my kid every morning with eggs and bacon because he's going to get a free meal, great. But what does that meal look like? Are you telling me he's going to just get, like, a sugary cereal at school for free? Because if so, I'm going to make my husband keep making breakfast. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what that program looks like. So I'm not on board to be taxed on sugary drinks if we're just going to be giving garbage to kids every morning.
Well, two things. I think you raised two good points. One is, this is generally a shell game because the money is already appropriated going to these programs to begin with. So really what's going to happen is the money that was allocated to continue funding programs like breakfast at schools is going to go somewhere else now. And then they're going to use this revenue stream coming in to fund this more directly. So really, at the end of the day, it's just more revenue to the general fund, which is going to lead to God knows what. We've seen the reckless ways in which our government has spent money. With that said, obviously, we want every child in this state to go to school fed and having breakfast and feeling nourished. Obviously, that needs to be at the top of our priorities. With that said, there's not enough thought into these programs. The Democrats are really just they're speaking election speak. And they're giving you good sound bites. I don't think they're actually thinking about the logistics of all this. To your point, Melissa, we instituted the universal free breakfast program in schools, I think 3 or 4 years back. I think it was part of an initiative from COVID funding that we were receiving.
Yes. Yep.
And what we were finding is some of these kids legitimately need that breakfast. And in my opinion, let's get that to them. We need to create a program to provide that to them, regardless of how we're going to fund it. We should fund it. With that said, What we were also finding is kids that didn't need the breakfast were still taking the breakfast and fooling around with throwing it all out, or even throwing it at their friends, I've heard in instances, in certain older students. And this is a complete waste of money in that regard. Or in some cases, to your point, a parent was just saying that they could afford it, that could provide their family a nourished breakfast. You know what? I'll just send him to school and have it. He or she will have her sugar cereal or what have you, because I just don't feel like doing it this morning, or giving them a quality breakfast. And to your point, so you're supplementing one for the other. You're charging somebody $3 so they don't purchase sugary drinks for their kids, but at the same time, now they're not cooking them a quality breakfast, and so they're going to school and having something that is, you know, in some cases, very poor for their health. And so there's not enough thought in this to begin with. And again, I think the case in point is, how in this tax state is the answer to a health crisis that we face, not only in Connecticut, but across the country, how is the answer to that a tax? I just don't see that as a logical answer.
It's ironic, too, because, you know, isn't the goal for us to stop consuming those things? So if the goal is for us to get away from sugary drinks, right, then mm-hmm. now you're creating where we can't rely on that tax. Granted, do I think people are going to get rid of sugar? I mean, no, I don't. I think people are always going to buy chocolate milk for their kids, or they're going to buy the juice boxes, or they're going to buy the Gatorade. Like, I don't think that'll ever go away. But to that point, it's sort of mixed messaging, right? So we want kids to get away from consuming those things. I mean, ask any pediatrician. They're going to tell you that. But we're going to tax those things, knowing that families are going to spend money on it, and it's to supplement the free meals program that we don't even know what quality that is. I don't know. The whole thing is just kind of something backwards. Yeah, well, I can't say the word.
You make a very, valid point, and it's very similar. If you remember back when a few sessions ago, or a few years ago, we instituted this 5-cent tax on plastic bags.
Yes.
And many of those that were pushing this initiative were talking about all the great things, the environmental programs they were going to fund out of this 5-cent bag program. And so you're making the point that I was making back then, which is that I'm confused. You're taxing plastic bag because it's bad for the environment, yet you're relying upon the revenue you're making from the plastic bags
to fix the environment.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
exactly right. And I think this is another example of that once again.
We have Senator Steve Harding here, who's the Senate Minority Leader for Connecticut. And today there's going to be a public hearing on a bill that would put a 2-cent per ounce tax on sugary drinks. And the bill, which I'm going to include with Senator Harding's podcast, I'm going to link it for you so you can read through. I mean, we're talking everything. Fruit juice, milk-based beverages, non-alcoholic beverages, non-nutrition sweeteners, powders. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot. Syrup, on and on and on. So have they pitched this before, though? Senator Harding, this sounds like a familiar bill.
Yeah, I don't know if this exact form was pitched prior, but I know for a fact there was a movement to add a tax onto sugary sodas, particularly like, you know, the big gulps and that you get at 7-Eleven and things like that. There was an effort, I think 3 or 4 years ago, by Governor Lamont, I believe, actually, to do the same exact thing. And then I think he's kind of abandoned it. And then for whatever reason, you're seeing another effort by the majority in Hartford to implement this sugar tax. And again, I just it bothers me because I really question the logic. Once again, you know, if we wanted to address obesity in this state, if we wanted to address diabetes and all these other, you know, childhood health and all these other great things, why don't I institute programs based upon pediatricians' recommendations, teachers, et cetera, parents, as opposed to just saying, well, we're just going to tax the issue. And again, to your point, Melissa, so the thing that bothers me the most is they're saying, well, we're going to do all these great things with the money that we're going to get by taxing all of you more money in the third highest tax rate to begin with. Yet, shouldn't the initiative be to phase out the use of this as best we can? And frankly, you know, I know what it's like, just like I mentioned, as do you, to have two young kids at home. I mean, sometimes it's nearly impossible to avoid this issue. It's not like a cigarette tax where I'm an adult, I'm making a decision that I want to smoke that cigarette. I fully understand the risk of that cigarette. I'm going to go purchase it and then pay whatever tax on top of it as an adult, as not so much a necessity because I want to. In some households, in order to nourish your kids, even though it may not be the greatest, most healthy thing in the entire world, you know, you want to get calories in your kids, particularly my son's, you know, kind of is pretty skinny. I want them to bulk up a little bit, and a lot of parents do for their kids. So it's not the worst thing in the world to have them a little sugar, particularly if they're young athletes and they're running around all over the place all day long. So, I mean, all you're doing is just adding money to somebody's grocery bill. And to your point, this is by 12-ounce increment or by 1-ounce increment tax.
Right. So that's the other part.
If you buy like a 12,
I'm so glad you said that, because that's the other part that people are missing, is it's 2 cents per ounce. So, like, I drink an Alani every morning. That's because I don't drink coffee. So I drink Alani or Celsius. That's a 12-ounce can. So you're talking about 24 ounces. And by the way, per can. Okay, so I get a pack of 12 to 18 of them. So, I mean, you're talking about a hefty tax every time you want to buy it. Yes, that is the other, I'm going to call it, deceptive little line in there, is 2 cents per ounce. Because people think it's 2 cents per can or two cents per pack.
No.
2 cents per ounce per drink. That's a big deal. It's a big deal.
So if you're buying a 12-pack of soda, let's say, you're talking like $3 to what you're currently paying on your 12-pack of soda. That's not throwaway money at all. This is not a few cents here or there. I mean, this is legitimate money adding up. And again, I start to question, when you see that much money and what revenue that's going to bring into the state, and I haven't seen the number just yet. I'm interested to see what the estimates would be about what revenue this would bring into the state of Connecticut. What are we truly going to be spending that money on? Because, again, I have a heart. This is a shell game, in my opinion. I know they're saying it's a good initiative, which it is. But I know for a fact there's money allocated to the breakfast program currently. So what are you going to do now with that money that you currently have allocated that you don't need to spend because you're going to have all this new revenue coming in? And I can almost guarantee you it's not going to be anything related to health of our children or any noble cause. It's likely going to be continued bureaucracy in Hartford.
Well, and Senator Harding, I mean, you said something really important as well. The amount of teachers I have heard from all different districts, Stamford, Stratford, Norwalk, Easton. I mean, I've heard it from almost every district that we cover specifically here on WICC. They all say the same thing, that in the last few years, they watch so much food get wasted. And they'll say, Melissa, is there a way that you could come up with an idea? Like me, like I have the answers. But it's like, hey, could you come up with a way where maybe we, we have a donation box instead, but now you're making the kid feel bad because they're standing out as somebody who needs help. So there's no like rhyme or reason, but we have holes in our current free meals system that we're not going to address. But hey, you know what? Why not? Let's just tax people anyways. I mean, there's just so many holes to this. It just doesn't logically make sense. It doesn't take a political party to tell you that taxing people when just last week, Governor Lamont's like, well, let's do a 1 month, you know, gas tax holiday. Right. But in the meantime, let's tax 2 cents per ounce per can on everything so we can pay for a free meals program that, by the way, is not sustainable and it's broken. That's a fact. That's not an opinion. It is broken. Teachers will tell me all the time. They see so much wasted food. They see, you know, not nutritional options for kids. It's broken. I'm not saying that the idea isn't great. And the second that you push back on it, you hate kids. Right. I mean, you're a horrible person. You don't want kids to eat. That's what the answer is. Right. I mean, that's what it is, Melissa. You hate children. No, that's not what it is. I think these are logical questions that we don't get answers to. But hey, tax people. Why not? Why not?
And frankly, to your point, Melissa, I think you hit it. We should have a constructive conversation about that program
right,
to begin
why
with,
can't
to your
we?
Point, because we should be to help the kids that truly need the program.
Totally.
Because they're not being helped. Right?
Agreed.
Because to your point, they're not being given healthy alternatives, and we're wasting money on students that are using the money literally to throw food around the classroom. I've heard the same exact thing from other teachers that I've spoken with as well. So let's actually have a constructive conversation about how do we better utilize the program so that the students that truly need it for financial purposes are directed that food and a healthier choice for them That's where the conversation should be. And we can't always just throw it out there that, well, because you disagree with aspects of the program, you don't like children, or you don't care about
children. Or you have questions about it.
Of course we do.
Right. Or you have questions about it. Again, that drives me the most crazy. We can't have a constructive conversation about this because I have questions about it? Give me a break. Why can't we ask questions about money that we're dumping into a program that may be helping some people but may not be doing anything but wasting money? Why can't we ask questions about it? Why do you immediately become a child hater if you do that? It's wild. Senator Harding, I appreciate you talking about this. Again, I'm going to have the full context of the bill linked to your podcast posted on voiceofct.com, and we'll see what comes out of today's public hearing.